everybody. This is the Planning and Community Development Committee meeting. My name is Cynthia Delfinos Johnson. I am the chair of this committee. I'm joined by Councilmember Fogarty and Councilmember McLeod, who is stepping in for Councilmember Quinn today. We'll jump right in to the agenda for today, and the first item on our agenda is the tourism and lodging tax update. We have Brandon Miles here, who is going to lead that discussion.
Well, good evening, Councilor. For the record, Brandon Miles, Business Relations Manager. I also serve as the staff person for the City's Lodging Tax Advisory Committee. Next Monday, we're going to give you a much more in-depth presentation related to our accomplishments for 2020 and 2021 related to lodging tax. What we wanted to do today was just to touch base with you about our two-year budget, which you'll see is listed as an attachment. As a reminder, the lodging tax, we have a budget. The budget does not actually authorize any expenditures. We go through the two-step process of the lodging tax authorizing expenditures through their lodging tax approval process. This is just a requirement that we have to do for state law. So our expenditures will never be above what's in the budget, and in many cases, they're actually lower. Some highlights that I just want to comment on, we were hit significantly hard by the pandemic. 2020, we just had less than 300,000 of lodging tax funds. In 2021, we started to see a rebound, and 2022 is looking good. I talked to one hotelier who said that they're so far having the best year they ever had, and they're also having the best month they've ever had. So that is one individual hotel. It's not reflect. Some hotels are still kind of struggling, but we are starting to see some of what I would call full service hotels, the ones that have conventions, are starting to see those conventions come back. I've listed our expenses. 85% of our funds do go to activities. We strive to contract for services, to sponsor events. We are not big on having a huge infrastructure of city staff that we have to maintain as a way to be flexible in the work that we do. I also want to highlight, too, the six-year financial plan. This is something we started in 2020 to provide a kind of a forward-looking. It's on page 7 of your packet. This is something that we use to make sure that we are keeping money allocated and budgeted in 4 years to take advantage of some accomplishments. But the big things you highlight there are the we've bumped up our revenue projections for 2022 and 2023 and 2024. You also notice a new thing in here. It's called business attraction and promotion. The six-year financial budget was reviewed by the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee less than 2 weeks ago. One of the big things that we're wanting to do is to be able to use lodging tax funds to promote the city for general business. And we've been hesitant to do it in the past because we wanted to make sure the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee was good with that. And, going after and getting more businesses in the city means more lodging stays. It means more people coming to the city. Some examples that we haven't been able to participate in the past were the Aerospace Alliance going to their meetings and participating in their organization. So we think it could provide an opportunity for us to drive more visitors to the city. Again, next Monday, I'll provide a more formal presentation to the council on everything lodging tax related, but we just wanted to touch base with you about the budget. We're looking for you to forward it on to next week's meeting for a discussion.
Thank you. Councilmember Hogarty.
Yeah, so I'll start out by saying that I've been following this pretty closely and know that the collection was down and that it rebounded surprisingly quickly. And I've gone through this and it looks good, and it's good news too. The one question I had was about spending down the ending fund balance. Those are all going to be one-time things, right? So that you're not, or tell me about spending down that ending fund balance.
So if in 2020, when we were projecting out our six-year financial plan, our ending fund balance was getting around to just under $600,000 in the out years. We've now recovered that. The main reason is that we're not providing direct funds anymore to Seattle Southside Regional Tourism Authority. So our ending fund balance is projected to be better in those out years of $1.3 million. It is spending it down. I do believe that $1 million of ending fund balance is reasonable for us to maintain in that fund. Mainly the reason I say that is because if we had a major issue, which we've never gotten to, COVID was our worst fear. We only find a half the time FTE in the in it, and everything else we could cut expenditures if we had to. So to get back to some of your question, Councilmember, back to your question, a lot of these would be ongoing expenditures, but I don't expect them to have a significant impact on the ending fund balance as we get closer to those out to those end years. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I thought there was some place in here where it told what you were going to do with the ending fund balance, but I don't remember where it is. It's fine. It seems solid. So, and the question that I have is about the budget process in general. Why don't I ask that after we've finished this, and then this has made me think I have a question about budget process for both of you.
So budget process on this?
In general.
Okay.
So I'll just maybe after.
So go around on this.
Finish this, and then it'll be really quick. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have really any questions, more so just a comment. I think this looks good. I appreciate kind of your forward thinking. I mean, you've got line items already for the World Cup planning, and that's going to be big, and Tocqueville has a real opportunity there. So I just think your forward thinking is correct, and I like what I see. I don't have any clarifying questions.
I don't have any questions either, because I sort of looked at this last document, the six-year financial plan, and sort of answered the question myself, which was, what are we spending more money on? But it seems like because we had to cut things due to COVID, and now we're sort of putting the money back in place in these particular categories, like I could actually see through this financial plan, what areas are we increasing? And it all makes sense to me. So I don't have any questions. I think this looks good.
The one thing, there's two things I do want to highlight real fast. First, we have 2 years now of running Experience Tocqueville, our digital marketing initiative, and we have a better understanding of what the costs are for that. So we are bumping that up to be reflective of the actual costs are. One of the big things we need to start doing now is a little bit more videos, because that's what Instagram and social media are pushing forward above static photos. So I want to look at hiring an intern next year, a college, a high school or college intern to help us with the social media aspect. I think it'd also be cheaper than perhaps having an agency help us with some of the stuff. We still have the agency, don't get me wrong on that, but to have someone help us with that. The other thing is we've been working with the city of Kent and Showware on going after business that's generated at the Showware Event Center down in Kent. They don't have enough hotels, and so we think there's an opportunity to bring them into Tocqueville hotels when they have very large events. So that's something that we have a $15,000 rebate program that we're looking at doing with events at Showware.
I love the intern idea. I was at, I think we, a lot of us were at that Teams for Tocqueville event that was held at the high school this past year. And they were really, like, the students were in favor of, like, they really want to have social media. They want the city to have, like, a social media student person. So this is perfect. I would just make the suggestion that they get that it's a paid intern.
Exactly. Okay. Definitely. And communications had an intern that worked with them on their social media. We would do something similar on our end, but our goal is to, you know, your camera is your phone now, and to get kids out into the community at events, cutting videos very quickly would have huge benefit and definitely would be a paid internship.
I would support that also. Paid internship.
Yeah. Okay. You ready for process?
Yeah. So I might have missed this along the line, but I see now budget coming in through transportation and through planning and community development. Is this the first time that we've had budget items come through?
No. You had the less ones.
Oh, okay. Yes,
budget, that was the first one. But so what we're doing is this, the smaller funds that don't really touch the general fund or maybe only do very tangentially, those are all starting to come through, right? So, and then what we're going to do is, and we've been working with the council president and the chair of finance and governance, is we're going to look at hosting some general fund budget workshops so that we can do the general fund in totality, right? In previous couple of cycles, we brought you know, the parks and recreation budget and then the admin services budget. And we realized that doing those separately does us all a disservice, right? They all need to be done because they're all touch each other. They're all in the general fund. So you're just starting to see the initial funds come through.
So this is just a note to self that I was thinking, okay, I get the transportation infrastructure budget, right? I mean, excuse me, agenda here. And I see that they've got a budget item here. And so it's like note to self, I can give myself a preview of what's coming up by reading this. And I didn't know if you wanted to mention that as council president, that these are starting to come through. And that if we want to start our homework early, we could start looking at, because I started looking at it as like, I don't have time right now on Monday to go through this, but I can go through it now. So I have it all read.
That is this is the idea that is that going to go to COW like this one? So we'll all see it. You're just saying like.
Right. Sometimes there's just a lot on an agenda. Yeah, we get extra. It's like giving ourselves extra time.
Yeah. Okay. Don't miss the opportunity.
Don't miss the opportunity.
You want to look at it early.
Yeah. And so
next week.
Right. Yeah. So that you're not just like cramming.
Yeah.
That was my process.
Budget stuff is a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's all I had.
So everything good for next Monday to go to just checking?
Yeah, okay. As it is.
And is that, so this is going to be our budget touch on this too? This is it?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Then we're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Go get them.
Don't forget.
Go get them. What do you
think of the car? I'm going
to a
basketball game.
Oh.
Yeah.
What is he going to go get with that big snow?
He did not say the city going to have that blue on his paper.
Oh, my goodness. The color costs.
Right? I was like, what is that? He was just like dark blue on black.
Okay. So the next item on our agenda is health through housing, community engagement, and next steps. And we have Kelly Ryder. From King County Department of Community and Human Services here. Hey, Kelly.
Hello.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for having me back.
Yeah.
Is it helpful? Do you want me to jump in?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I really just have a quick slides that I believe are part of your packet tonight to kick off a conversation for the record. Kelly Ryder, Director of External Affairs with the King County Department of Community and Human Services, following up on a July full council meeting about the Health Through Housing program. I appreciate the opportunity to return to you all in committee to talk through any additional next steps that King County should be planning for in order to engage the community about Health Through Housing. So I've got a couple of quick slides. I don't believe I have access to share. So I don't know if you all just already have them, and then I can just dive right in. Okay, great. So you'll see on the second slide, just a reminder of the last presentation that I gave in July about the second step per our implementation plan of the siting process for a health through housing building. And that is for the county and the city to agree upon the requirements to site a building. What we are looking to do in order to move forward is to identify necessary characteristics of the properties to consider for health through housing use. And that is where we are looking for the city's partnership should you wish to move forward. And so on slide 3, you'll see a list of potential health through housing engagement options. This is based on the conversations that we have had with our 6 or so host cities so far and the engagement strategies that those cities have encouraged us to participate or co-hosted with us. And you'll see a large range of those anywhere from an official city council meeting, which we had in the city of Kirkland, really hosted by the city council, but with King County participating with other experts to describe what permanent supportive housing is, why we're moving forward with the health through housing initiative, and then opportunities for community to both ask questions as well as provide comments. In Redmond, we held a kind of broader town hall meeting that was co-hosted by Councilmember Balducci and the City of Redmond, where DCHS also participated, and it was a large opportunity for community members to be able to show up and be heard. I believe that lasted about 5 hours, I think is what I tracked, from about 6 till about 11 when folks left that evening. And that was all virtual. And then also we've hosted some just interested parties meetings. A good example is with the Chamber in Renton, where we had several conversations with them talking about what would ensure a Health Through Housing building could be successful. We also held focus groups at the request of the City of Redmond, where we invited a handful of folks that had been particularly engaged, some folks that were excited about bringing Health Through Housing to the community, other folks that were concerned or nervous about what a Health Through Housing building would mean. And we brought them together in a conversation to talk through the different viewpoints, to talk through the questions, concerns, as well as get their ideas about what could make sure that the building was successful in the particular location we were looking at in the City of Redmond. Other engagement options that we've done in Auburn, we made phone calls to a list of businesses that the City of Auburn provided us. We've also done flyering or doorbelling in the City of Redmond. Trying to remember if there were other cities that we did that in, but that's the city that comes to mind for now. Certainly e-newsletter distribution has been used in a variety of cities, and City of Kirkland is one that heavily relied on that to get the word out for their city council meeting. And then we consistently try to use King County's website and blog, and as well as any partners and cities' opportunities to get the word out in any kind of more flexible communication channels. So those are options that we have available. I know that each city usually ends up having its own kind of favored engagement opportunities, and so we're happy to lean in on those to be able to get the most folks engaged for a robust conversation. And so with that, I've just lined up a few questions to get us kickstarted. It is, of course, your meeting, so I defer to you all on what questions you'd like to discuss this evening. But it would certainly be helpful if for King County to move forward with community engagement if you had any reflections on the property characteristics that you thought would be most supportive, what kind of venue you thought residents and or businesses would be most successful for folks to provide their input on characteristics, and then also a best way to notify folks of that venue and opportunities to provide feedback. So that's what I've prepped for you all today, and happy to take questions or listen or whatever is most useful to you.
Thank you. We'll start with council member questions. Or thoughts. Councilmember Hogarty?
Yeah, I want to start with the thought that just some things have come to light and just been thinking about this more that we might want to bring to the table, or I would like to bring to the table when we go out to the public more information than what we have now that we need to collect. And the what I'm talking about in particular is the fact that we have the tiny house locations, and they're almost up and running. And so it would really be good for us to be able to bring to the community the information about how that program is having, what kind of success we are having with that program, and what kind of impacts those have created, if any, good and bad, actually, good and bad impacts they have had on the community. This is a big step. This is something that I know that you want to keep moving on this, and we do too, but we don't want to rush. So the main thing is that my suggestion is that we recommend that we return to the full council with a recommendation to postpone pursuing this and really having this conversation, because we need another one first. We need to have the tiny homes up and running for a while, and we can decide what a file is before we move forward. We need to see what those impacts are. We also, I'd like some data from some of the other sites as to impacts in the community, like on the neighborhoods and the businesses both. Some actual like numbers or data points would be good. Some of the specific things are data on impact of police response, impact of businesses in the surrounding areas, and our capacity to absorb any impacts that might come up. Because I would like to be able to say that to the public, to tell them that part of that information and say, well, we don't know yet, but we're going to find out afterwards. I'd rather have some data from other cities first.
Thank you. Tom, do you mind if I jump in?
No, go ahead.
I agree. I think in terms of timing, you know, I don't want to put this off really far. And so I want to be really conscious of what the county, like, I'm wondering from your perspective, Kelly, how much time it takes to sort of plan a community gathering, like a community engagement plan so that it's ready to go at a certain time, because I know everything takes time. Like, this whole process is slow, you know, like, we only meet on Mondays, and sometimes you're not here or we're not here, you know, like, committee only meets twice a month. I agree with Councilmember Hogarty in terms of how I think it's really important for us to allow the tiny home projects to, you know, be out there in the community and for the community to receive them. Like, we received a lot of feedback from businesses, residents, good and bad, about the projects. And I just feel like going back out into the community right now, when we don't know how those projects are going to be received, how things are going to go, I just feel like it's too soon to go out in this way, because I want this process to be successful. Like, there's no, I definitely, at least from my perspective, I do think that going out into the community about this project is important. But for me, it's just right now is not the best timing. And I'm thinking at least January, because I think tiny homes are opening in October. And then there's like a contract in place that says we're going to assess it in December. I think I remember seeing that with the contracts with tiny homes. So at least from my perspective, I think it's at least January before moving forward with the community engagement. And I would be, I mean, I'm open to talking about what types of options I think I'd be interested in. So I'll stop there. I'm wondering if Councilmember McLeod has thoughts about timing of this.
I do.
And just in general.
I have a couple questions. Can I go there?
Yes.
Kelly, on page 34, there's this compound resiliency risk score. And in your chart, you list different cities. Do you know or have any clue where Tukwila is at on that resiliency risk score?
Are you referring to the equity impact review?
Yeah.
I have not done the equity impact review for the city of Tukwila, so I don't have that.
Okay. Because I think right now,
part of the process, right, of creating the equity impact review.
Sure. Tukwila has a lot of responsibilities. You know, we have a mall, we have a light rail station, you know, and some of these things are under other jurisdictions like the light rail station, but it requires the efforts of Tukwila police nonetheless. We're standing up two tiny house units, and I really would like to see that process play out a little bit more. We're still working, our police department is not back to full staff pre-pandemic. And so I think a little time, you know, could allow us to maybe build a stronger base for how we would serve our community. So I would be in favor, one, for that. And two, when it comes to outreach, so I wrestle with the questions that are being asked on the outreach, because I believe King County has a specific site they want to get an okay on to move ahead. But the question that's going to get asked is, are you okay with this in Tukwila, meaning all of Tukwila? And people are going to be thinking all sorts of different neighborhoods and parts of the city that this could happen, when in reality, you're just wanting a blanket okay so you can go to a specific site. That's not true?
No, certainly our community engagement would absolutely be more nuanced than that. I think what we are looking for, as it says in the packet, is what characteristics would make for a successful site, or what characteristics would city residents. So they might say things like, this kind of neighborhood would be appropriate for siting, but this type of neighborhood would not. This type of engagement strategy for neighborhoods would be important for long-term operations, but this would not. any kind of nuance that could either narrow or broaden our building search as well as affect our implementation and procurement process would be very welcome and would certainly both inform the county's process, but also inform Tukwila as you all are holding this process with us.
You had looked once before and you determined that there wasn't anything at that time available. And now you're back again trying to find out, does this work in Tukwila again? But are you looking because you have a specific spot in mind and therefore you're looking for this kind of blanket approval so we can get to a certain spot? The reason I ask that, the question you will ask the community, like I said, they might be thinking, oh, do I want this on TIB? Do I want this here, here, here? But if you didn't have a spot in mind, you might not even be asking the question. So that's kind of where I wrestle with it.
Yeah. And to reiterate, we would ask the questions that the city would like us to ask, and we would search where the city would like us to search. So historically, we did do a search early on in the process. I want to be super transparent about that before the implementation plan was put into place. We did work with our broker. It's not my memory that there were no buildings available. I think we were still working on with the city, your process that you were trying to codify for putting things, for getting things cited. And we had our attention working on other services for people experiencing homelessness, the tiny home villages, other things. And so I cannot remember any time that we have reported that there were no buildings. I can certainly look to your city staff if they recall something different. What I can tell you is that we are interested in refreshing our look at Tukwila, but I have had no new conversations with the broker in the last few weeks to know what buildings may be available. And certainly as what it sounds like reported just before my participation in committee, the tourism industry is starting to pick up. And we know that certainly buildings are changing their mind or actively changing hands on a regular basis. If it's helpful for transparency's sake, if we did have a building in mind, I would not name that building's address for the implementation plan, but I would certainly be upfront about if I knew for sure a building was available. I don't know whether the building that we had historically been looking at is available today, but the last time we looked, which was a few months back, probably before the last committee meeting, it was at that time available.
Okay. I just think that's relevant when you ask somebody, do you want this? Because there's a specific outcome to that general question. And maybe people would process it different if you ask that general question with just an open mind is we're just looking anywhere, but kind of not, because you really have a specific place in mind already when you ask that general question. You're not thinking up by the Boeing Access Road. No, you're thinking a spot that you already identified. So I wrestle with how we ask that question of the public and what information we're giving them when we ask their answer, because that answer will get used to say, well, you guys said you wanted this, but then someone might come back and say, well, I didn't say I wanted it there. But we're not giving them that chance to know that.
And I think I hear what you're saying, Tom, and earlier on in the process, I know I asked Laurel for the list of where all of the hotels in our city that fit the criteria were located. And we could provide that to the community and ask, like, what characteristics or areas would you guys want to see or not want to see them in? And because we have so few in our city, like, they're really concentrated in certain areas and people could see that. And I think that would be an important component to include in the community engagement plan, is to say, be really upfront and transparent of these are where they're located. Like, what are your thoughts? Because they could see where
that
they're
would going. Be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that would be a suggestion, is to be transparent about where they're located so that people could see where they are through in the process. Councilmember Hogarty, I think you had additional questions or comments.
Yeah, I do. So,
were you done?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Well, we can always come back,
okay,
right?
Yes.
So the question that I have, Kelly, is that a year ago or so, it was our understanding that Tukwila was off the table as far as healthier housing. And then we were back on. What changed? Why did you come back?
Yeah, I mean, there is a variety of pieces of context. We did have that early conversation. We were told really clearly from the city that you all would want to have deep community engagement in that process. And we were asked by the executive to move very quickly to house as many folks that are currently outside and experiencing disabilities as possible. And so we have been working closely with those cities that were interested in saying yes to this with the goal of 1,600 units. We have about the money left for 1 to 2 buildings, and we are about 1 to 2 buildings away from our goal. And so as we have worked with Kirkland, with Redmond, with Auburn, with Renton, with Federal Way, with Seattle, to stand up our 9 buildings that we have in the portfolio so far, we've continued to look at where potential opportunities are to complete the portfolio. And Tukwila continues to be a hub where there are hotels, there is access to transit, and there are, you know, services and connection points, and there's certainly need in the surrounding community. We don't have, as I think was mentioned at your last council meeting, a health through housing building in the kind of western northern portion of South King County right now. And so we presented to CTAC as well recently. Burien is in the middle of siting a permanent supportive housing building, the last status update that I received. And so we reached out to your city staff, I think it was a few months back, and asked if it made sense for us to restart the conversation. And I am here tonight to know whether the city council would like to continue those conversations per the implementation plan that's required of us.
Okay, so we're talking about saying we want to wait. We want to wait and see what we have with Lehigh, which since the last time we were contacted by Health Through Housing, Lehigh approached us, part of King County, and said we would like to locate tiny homes. And so we have basically welcomed them into our community, two of them, and so we would like to see what the impacts of those are at this time. So we do consider ourselves that we're a player at this, and I would say that I like that model. It's small. There's a lot of services that are one-on-one, and it's a good model. So now what we're saying, at least I'll own it, what I'm saying is I'd like to wait, and I don't want to be rushed. So what would you say to that?
What would I say to that?
Or, yeah, because I've heard before, it's like, this is urgent. We need to move very quickly. Well, yes, we do, but this is not the only way to move very quickly. Right now in Auburn, they still haven't, it's a year later, and there's still not people that are in that particular building. And we have a list right here of places that you're partnering with that are doing work right now that is getting people into housing, not just single people, but families that are getting, so it's broader, it's more inclusive, and it's getting people into housing fairly quickly. And so I encourage you to focus on some of this in the meantime. And that this is the hotels are not the only way that we can solve this problem. It's one of those ways. And so my thought is that let's do our due diligence as a city and see where that works. Let's see how tiny houses work. Maybe we want another tiny house village. Maybe that's what would be a good thing for us. Those are the kind of questions that I want to explore and ask. Once we have that hotel, we want to make it successful. I don't even want to go there in the conversation. Councilmember Del Strino said that. We want this to be successful if we do it. But right now I'm feeling kind of pushed about that. So we've got other things going on right now. I'd like to see that. I'd like to let them play out. If the county feels like they have a sense of urgency on hotels, then maybe another place might be doing something more quickly. I think we need to do what Tukwila needs us to do. We're a small city. We've got a small footprint. We've got 2,000 people that 20 to absorb impact. So we're a little different than some of the other cities. And so we want to be a player, but what that looks like for Tukwila is the question.
point, you bring up a good point. We are a player. We participate in this other King County program, led program through Lehigh. So I would echo that same position. I'd like to see how that plays out and give us a short time to see how that works. Like you said, till the first of the year maybe. That's where I would want to be right now. And then when we go out later or whenever to the community, that's a good point you bring up. You know, I really want to be transparent. This is what we'd be looking at. This is where we would consider. And what would you think about that?
Kelly, what is, I want to give you an opportunity to sort of respond to what you heard tonight, which is to postpone at least till January. And I'll just say that. I don't know if Council Member Hogarty thinks that more time is needed than that, but what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound too much like a broken record. I defer to the city in your decisions about how and whether you would like King County to move forward with discussions. In every place that we have opened Health Through Housing, we have tried very hard to make it different than how we cite permanent supportive housing in general, which is for the nonprofit to just proceed according to zoning rules and to be able to open doors in whatever kind of standard process the city has before it in terms of zoning and siting. And so if I'm hearing tonight that the city is not interested in moving forward with Health Through Housing at this time, and I understand that that time may change come January and we can revisit that, then I fully respect that. It continues to be the county's priority, and to Councilmember Hogarty's point, continues to be the county's priority that we have money set aside only to create supportive housing, because there are over 4,000 folks who have been homeless for over 12 months and who have disabilities that are living on our streets and who are homeless. And so I think I said homeless twice. You get my point. And so it will remain my role and job to talk to as many cities as I can until we can site that final building so that we can open as many doors to those people as possible, because we know that supportive housing works. It would be great if I could get confirmation from the city that you are not interested in moving forward with Health Through Housing at this time, and that I should revisit in January.
Okay. I think the next step here, because this isn't, obviously this is not the full council. We cannot speak for everybody, but I think that will be our recommendation. But we need the approval from the full council before answering your question, because, you know, there's other council members who aren't here that need to weigh in on this. So
they remanded it back to us, as you know. And so it's our responsibility, as you know, to go back to the full council and have a decision by the full council. Mm-hmm. So, I'm sorry, I'm just basically repeating what you said. So,
my process.
Yeah, your process for
process, lady.
But we can do it as, you know, as quickly as possible, so you know what to do as far as moving on. And we might get a different answer from the full council anyway. So we have to take it back. So,
could that be next week?
I was trying to. We have a very busy agenda next week at COW. So it may be worth talking to Laurel, but one idea is to, instead of having the full presentation, could be a report out from the committee and having the council just, do you agree with our recommendation or?
No, next week.
Yeah, right. Instead of, Laurel is the, Laurel knows everything, but I could see a scenario where the committee chair just says, this is what we thought in committee, is there consensus, and move forward from that instead of having the whole discussion. Because I don't think there's time on the agenda for the full discussion. You have a number of, we can always put it on the agenda if you would like, but it is a very long meeting already.
I trust the person running the meeting to be able to get through it.
Otherwise, the October 10th meeting is much more manageable, but the meeting on the 26th, you have RFA, you have 1, 2, 3, 4 budgets. You have naming policy, LTAC, budget outreach overview. But we will, we are here at the pleasure of the council. So.
I have an idea. So if we do, if Cynthia does the report out and it starts to kind of bog down, then we could continue the discussion the next week.
No.
I mean, next week when we've got that really long agenda, mm-hmm. and then the recommendation was that we report out there and get a...
Or report out tonight and say, and just see if they agree with you, if they agree that waiting is the best thing, then...
So under reports?
Potentially. Oh. I mean, we could ask again.
Yeah.
I do nothing council-related without talking to Laurel, so I would want her...
I think it'd be great if we could... let Kelly know as soon as possible
right.
what the whole council is thinking.
Right. And I think that would be the fastest way.
How do you
feel
about that?
The way I would present it tonight is I don't want to pressure everyone into saying, yes, I think this is really important. The way that I'm going to tee it up tonight is to say, like, hey, I'm just going to say this is an important decision. Like, do folks want to have more time to hear from Kelly and to just really consider, because I don't want to try to rush them around this. Like, I don't want to pressure them. I'll tell them what our recommendation mm-hmm. was, but mm-hmm. I don't want to pressure them.
Do you want to tee the question up so they can think about it during the week?
Yes.
And then next week mm-hmm. we can see what the consensus would be.
Or do you want to have the full discussion at the October 10th COW?
Well, we are pivoting. So because they brought it back to us to talk about what we were going to do as far as outreach, and now we've pivoted. So we need to give them a heads up even tonight and then maybe later.
I like that. Yeah. You're teeing it up.
Yeah.
Here's the question we want to ask.
Uh-huh.
Think about it during the week. And uh-huh. from there, we can then it'll be on the agenda item for a quick discussion next week. And if they want us to pursue, then that's what we'll do.
Yeah. The question is going to be... Do they want to pursue now or they want to postpone?
Yeah.
That's going to be the question on the next, like, move it forward to the COW. And the question is, and if they say we want it now, then we need to talk about the engagement options. Because that's what we didn't talk about tonight with Kelly, is actually get into what engagement options are.
Correct.
So Does that sound good?
Yeah, we need to tell why we pivoted, though, too. You know, it's like we just, oh, just kidding, we don't like this. I mean, there's a whole lot behind that. I mean, I would have a question as a council member.
Yeah.
So, I don't know where I'm at.
Can we get the council whisperers thoughts?
Yes.
Yeah. Kelly, we're just working the process right now, but we want to do this justice, so... Okay, Laurel, now the council whisperer is here. Tonight, for the Health Through Housing Initiative, what the recommendation was is that we recommend that we postpone the community engagement until, like, at least January.
Okay.
This item was sent to us from committee back here to work on this engagement option. So if we're... We believe that this is a pivot mm-hmm. from what was given to us. And so we want to seek, we're trying to figure out how to best get the other council members to weigh in on whether they agree that we postpone or if they want us to continue to talk about engagement and to have it happen before January.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just wondering, how do we best do that? Like, could I tee it up tonight to just get people thinking about it and, like, prepare the question? Because the question isn't whether or not we want to do it. The question is whether or not we want to do it now or we want to wait. So that's...
And with the understanding that next week's COW is so busy that I was suggesting mm-hmm. that trying to come away with not having a large agenda item again.
Sure.
And so can I say one other thing?
Yeah.
Another thing that we asked for is in postponing that discussion is to have some more information available that we've talked about here mm-hmm. To have that discussion. That's another reason.
Well, I guess what's coming to my mind is yes, tonight I think it would be a great opportunity under miscellaneous to fully report out on this discussion here and share with the other members how the committee landed, and ask, they may be prepared to give you that feedback tonight. I think you can kind of gauge that as you start the conversation, and the council president is here, maybe you can weigh in on that if you think you could try to facilitate through that question tonight. If anybody does say, actually, I need some more time to think about it,
yeah,
then we could arrange to have it come back.
I won't be running the meeting.
Right, but you're still the council president.
I'll just step in.
He could defer, yeah. Alan can defer to you.
You're like a facilitator in the miscellaneous that I'll bring up.
Yep.
But I think it's possible to get that answer tonight, personally.
So, yeah, and maybe you want to just tell Alan that Tom's going to facilitate, so that Alan's clear that he's going to defer the facilitating to Tom. That's process again.
Got it.
Yeah, it's never process.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding. Makes sense. Okay. That sounds good. So, Kelly, what we're going to do is we're going to see, kind of get a gauge on what the other council members are thinking, whether they want the full presentation that we got next week or a week after, just to see if how folks are feeling about moving forward now or moving forward later.
That makes sense. So we should
So we'll be in touch with you to let you know how tonight goes, so that we'll get you an answer on whether or not you need to be, whether we'll need you to come back or not.
Okay, that sounds great. As I said, I appreciate, I know the city has taken up a lot of time for this discussion to have careful consideration of what to do next. So I appreciate you having me back. I know that these are tough decisions to try to balance the needs of your current community members against those who are living outdoors. And so I completely respect whatever council decides. What I want to reframe is, I don't think this is now or wait, because waiting isn't really one of the ways that the county can say we're using our money. What we can say is now or revisit, if that frame works for you and achieves the same outcome. We're going to need to keep having conversations with cities. As I said in July, we were planning to do that anyway. I'm not saying that there's another active city that's standing up with their hand in the air saying, ooh, me. But if that frame works for you, then that's what I would intend, should the council agree with your recommendation.
Okay. Got it. Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you very much for the time.
And I think, is there any miscellaneous?
Yep.
All right. I call this meeting over. I don't know. I adjourn this meeting.